The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along. We're here to look at some top international friendlies this week in the company of Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern. First up, guys, the big friendly, ex-England versus ex-Scotland. Ron, you were missing in action on Friday. You had bigger things to do, understandably, well, against the old enemy. How did we get on?
How do you think?
We won, of course.
Let's be honest. It was like Longshanks against Mel Gibson.
Oops. Who was playing, Ron? Who was on our side, on the English side?
The England team was Dave Besson in goal, Gavin McCann at right back, who did not play well. Gavin McCann. We stuck a ringer in at centre-half. Steve Howard has just finished. Well, he's still been playing this season. The centre-forward to play for Derby and Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday. So we stuck him centre-half. He was the official header in the team. alongside him was Seth Johnson and Michael Ball.
He's not still on 32 grand a week from Leeds, is he, by the way, Seth Johnson?
He seemed to be getting on. Yeah. Michael Ball, the ex-Everton. I thought I'd put that one in first before you came in with a comment.
Just about to.
Left back. In midfield, which they were complaining about the Scots, we had Lee Bowyer, Ian Selly, and Lee Hendry, who, according to them, were sort of half their age. up front was Paul Walsh, Teddy Sheringham, and Trevor Sinclair.
Oh, I like that forward line, Ron.
It's not a bad team.
I don't know what the Scottish team were. Well, we do know crap. But I'd have gone 1-2-8 England for that one, definitely.
Well, we when it was 5-1 up.
After half an hour.
but then I had to, in the middle of the second half, I had to bring three of the sponsors on.
Oh, did you? How did they get on?
So we took. I took the whole of the midfield. I didn't know which one to bring up. I said, I'll take the lot off in the concrete.
And what were they like, the sponsors? Crap, were they? Were you player manager?
No, I'd have gone on. Honestly, I've got to tell you, it was funny. He's a good lad. He was playing against us, Richard Gough.
Oh, yeah.
And Goughy said, you've got them young midfield players. He said, I'm 52. I said, hang on a bit, you were 42 when I signed you at Nottingham Forest. And then you went to Everton afterwards.
Brilliant.
It was good. Good fun.
What were the temperatures like, Ron? I was concerned. It was a midday. It was an afternoon kickoff, wasn't it?
It was actually. We were in the. It was a bit rough on the bench.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Bargin was. You know, I don't know what he's up to mind about. We were actually sat in the shade for a long time.
You weren't like Jack Charlton, where you're at the World Cup throwing water on for your lads.
We were throwing water at them.
Vodka you were throwing on for them.
Yeah.
That was still seeping out from the previous night.
He had arguments with fellas from Age Concern on the line. No, you butted one of them.
I'll tell you what, I was at that game with Jack when Steve Staunton lined up for the national anthem with a cap on. Anyway, they were good lads, the Scots. They took it well.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
Well, used to it.
Before we get on to this round of international, just a very quick recap on the odds for the Premier League. Of course, Manchester City picked up the first trophy of the weekend, beating Sunderland after a pretty poor first half. They went up the gears and ended up winning 3-1, of course, which made up for last year and obviously gives Pellegrini his first trophy in English football. As for the Premier League, Chelsea 11-10 after winning, Man City 11-8. Now, after having that week, I've got two games in hand now. Liverpool 5-1 went second with their win against Southampton. Arsenal 16-1 lost at Stoke, as Derek predicted, actually. Tottenham 150s, Man United 500, and Everton 750-1. Any change to your thoughts, guys, on that?
The one that stands out to me still, you know, I got this feeling about is the Liverpool one.
Yeah. Well, Ron, it might do, right? The way they're playing, yeah, you're right. But listen. You know when you hear Liverpool 5-1, Arsenal 16-1, you think, well, Liverpool are probably 2 points clear with a game in hand. Same number of points as Arsenal, same number of games. Liverpool 5s, Arsenal 16s. I'm not saying Arsenal win the league, they won't. But, you know, as a punter, you couldn't back Liverpool at those odds.
I think the big difference is all of a sudden Liverpool are on a roll. And, you know, they're gathering momentum with Arsenal being stuck at the top of the league where everybody said they couldn't win it. And then they've lost a couple of games and all of a sudden, you know, I had a little fancy that Arsenal would see through a bit longer. But it looks to me as if the wheels are starting to come off now. And I think their best bet is the FA Cup.
Mm. They always seem to struggle at Stoke. And to be fair, they always seem to struggle against Mark Hughes' sides as well. They just looked inhibited, didn't they, really, Arsenal? I don't know if they'll bounce back from that, but they didn't look like they had the fight in them that Stoke did, to be fair. But, I mean, Liverpool keep scoring the goals. I mean, you know...
Yeah,
they're going to take a bit of stopping. I mean, obviously, those two big games are crucial, aren't they, for them?
Well, they are. I mean, they could win both of those easily because they were unlucky against in both away matches against those two teams. And the thing what gives me confidence about Liverpool's chances is Rodgers has finally woken up to the ineptness of Toure and Sissoko at the back. And they weren't there at the weekend, and also right away they looked a lot more tight. So that, you know, yeah, it's hard to pick hold of Liverpool right now.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Yeah, you can't, in the back of your mind, you're just thinking, nah, they can't do it. There's something about them that doesn't seem as strong as Chelsea and Man City, but they're playing completely inhibited as the opposite of Arsenal at the moment. For relegation, Cardiff 2-9, Fulham are 4-1 on. 13-8, Sunderland, Palace 15-8, Norwich 2-1, West Brom 5-2, Hull 10s, and then Swansea 11, Stoke 14, Villa 16s.
You missed Cardiff.
No, they were first up, 2-9. They're the favourites, Ron. Cardiff lost 1-0 at Tottenham. Norwich, why are Norwich still 2-1? 4-1 defeat at Aston Villa. I know they've got more points than, you know, the 4 points clear the relegation zone, but surely they look like they're dropping
I'll be honest, I think it's between West Brom and Norwich.
Yeah, Sunderland's still obviously Sunderland had the weekend off, didn't they? They're still on 24 points. Cardiff 22, Fulham 21. Those bottom two look buried, don't they?
Yeah, they've gone. And it's not all of a sudden, it's not like the bottom 11, is it now, really? You look and maybe it's only like the bottom six, the others are climbing slowly to safety, the Swansea, Stokes and Holes, aren't they? And Villa. I mean, they won't go down now, will they, Villa? But...
Villa should be okay now.
Yeah. It's Benteke. I mean, Benteke got this.
I know, but didn't I tell him he was crap?
he got the vote of confidence from Derek before the weekend, Ron. And he put. I don't know if you've seen the goal, Ron, but from yesterday. But ball's flung in. It's not particularly. It's just a ball into the box. Chest cushions on his chest and does like an overhead kind of. Not just an overhead kick, but he absolutely smashed it, didn't he?
Yeah,
into the back of that beautiful goal. Yeah, then he scored another one as well. We should have known when you said that, Derek. You had a good weekend apart from him, though, to be fair. listeners probably can tell that I'm putting off the inevitable.
Yeah.
England versus Denmark, though. This is the most meaningful of the friendlies that we'll look at this midweek.
Interrupt you there a minute, Lee.
Go on.
Just realised, you know what Maggie's organised for us tonight? We're going shooting.
You're going shooting?
I'm just wondering if she wants a gun in her hand.
Is it, what, right, like rifle shooting?
I don't know. It's
We maybe speak to Ron on Friday.
He'll be joining Oscar Pistorius on trial later this week.
England 8-13. The draw is 11-4. Denmark are priced up at 9-2. There's a few friendlies this week that we're going to have a look at. None are as important as this, despite the fact that it comes at the time of season that it comes. England are obviously preparing for the World Cup. Big squad that the manager's picked, and he got put into a corner really on an interview that I heard on BBC, Ron, when they were asking him about, you know, certain positions, and he was trying to play the diplomatic thing and say, just because I've picked them in this squad doesn't mean they're definitely going to the World Cup. This is getting close to his World Cup squad now, isn't he? If you've been picked for this one, you've got a good chance of being in the big squad for the World Cup.
It's a safe bet of the lot that's there. I'll be conservative and say it's 27 are going.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you might be more than that, but I think you can safely say 27 of the 30 are going.
Yeah.
And he hasn't picked Adam Johnson before the Cup final, so it doesn't seem as if he's going to be involved, I wouldn't have thought.
I mean, in general, I suppose, Ron, most England managers, when you look back through history, do stick with the players who've done it, who've got you there, don't they? The ones who you can trust. You wouldn't go and pick, say Adam Johnson, for instance, is a good example. He's been in good form, not scintillating, but he's been in good form for his club. Now, you wouldn't just pick him on form. I know people say you should, but if you've never worked with a guy, you'd rather pick someone who you've worked with, wouldn't you, surely? Even if they've dropped out of form a little bit.
To to a certain extent, but also, if you think of, to a lot of World Cups, I mean, you go back to 1990 when Gazza wasn't stitched on to go into that team. Platy certainly was nowhere near. Mm. And then Brian Robson gets injured in the preparation, so that lets one in, and then somebody else gets injured, lets Platy in, and all of a sudden they become the established players. So there's always somebody. I always think somebody comes through the pack in that respect. I'd like to see Townsend back in the form he was showing before he got injured. I thought, out of all that type of player that they've had over the last 2 years, I would say he's impressed me more than any of them as being a threat. Mm. Sturridge will start, won't he?
You would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, again, yeah. with the 11, Ron, would he? You'd imagine he'd start with what he has to start the team that he wants to start the first game.
Yeah, I think he'll play his strongest team. Maybe the only position he might look at is the goalkeeper to start with. Mm. You know, because he knows Hart's going to be his number one keeper anyway, doesn't he? He knows that. That's a certainty. So he may well look and put. He might even give the Scottish kid the game, Forster. You know, just see how he copes with it. Apart from that, I think you'll get most of the recognised players going out, certainly to play the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
And the wholesale changes. Result-wise, I've got one for you. If you what odds? You can't make a case for him to win the game. What odds Bentner to score?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah. He's 100-30.
Yeah, you know, that. I bet he gets involved somewhere just to...
Yeah, it's
everything. But looking at it, I think England will win.
Well, I don't think you play his strongest side, because he's talking, Ron, this week about, you know, why do I need to play Steven Gerrard in this? He's got 103 caps. Is this thing going to tell me anything more about him than I already know? Ditto Rooney. I don't think you play his strongest side. I really don't. Denmark aren't even in the World Cup, so you've got to question where their commitment is. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be back.
I wouldn't play them. If I was the manager, I wouldn't be looking at playing the strongest squad. You know, the people, the tried and trusted players that you know are going. I wouldn't be interested in them. But isn't there something about the FA will be looking at revenue and stuff like that?
They're not that far behind England in the world rankings, you know, Denmark.
No, they've not been in bad form recently. I mean, I know they had some wretched results in the qualifying. They lost 4-0 to Armenia at home, which is about as bad as it gets, to be fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
Since then, they beat them away, they beat Malta, they drew 2-2 with Italy, beat Malta again and beat Norway. And I know none of those teams are fantastically, top of the tree, apart from Italy. Their away-friendly performances are probably what we'd have to look at. They've lost in Poland, lost in Macedonia, drew in Mexico, beat Canada 4-0, drew with Turkey, lost to Scotland back in 2011, beat Slovakia, lost to South Africa, lost to Australia, lost to Austria. I mean, they don't really do friendlies away from home, don't they?
No, but didn't they beat England in a friendly as well? 3-2 not that long ago, what, 3 or 4 years, I think it was.
I'm just looking back from when that was, I can't remember that, though.
Yeah, it was definitely, maybe a bit longer ago than I think. You can't really back England at 8-13, can you? You know... He's going to be He's going to be putting an understrength side out. He's going to be making changes. The result doesn't really matter. England have lost 2 on the spin at home against Chile and Germany, and we're expected to be back in number 8-13. No, I don't see that. I don't see it. I, you know, these friendlies, whenever I see games like this, my automatic thought is draw, and it's 11-4. That'll do me for this one. Eriksen isn't playing for Denmark, rather, which is a bit of a sickener.
Yeah.
But I think they're a little bit more capable than these odds imply, the Danes.
Yeah. I'd expect goals, Ron. I don't know if you would, but I mean, you know, I know they drew a blank against Chile and Germany.
I personally would be looking at. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a 3-1.
Right. Yeah. Well, over 3.5 goals in the match is 3-1.
Into the equation, Bentner, that he might nick the consolation.
Yeah, Bentner. But as I said, Bentner to score is 100-30. I mean, but if you could go with the old Bentner to score, but England to win, bet that's 9-2. Sturridge is even money. You know, you're not getting that sort of price for him when he's playing for Liverpool at the minute. That's just to score a goal in the match. Rooney's the same price. Gerrard, if he does play 9-4, there's a few different prices around there, but there's not many recognisable names in the Denmark team these days, and not many who ply the trade away from Denmark. The likes of Kasper Schmeichel, Agger, of course, who's the captain, William Kvist, who plays for Fulham, and the man we've mentioned already, Bentner. Yeah, interesting one. So you're going for a draw then, Derek?
Yep.
And a 3-1 win for you, Ron. Yeah. With Bentner involved somehow. That's 14-1 the price for the 3-1 win. Let's do the rest of them in time order, shall we? That means we do Cyprus Northern Ireland next.
No, don't.
19-10 the price for Cyprus. The draw price is 11-5 and Northern Ireland are priced up at 23-20. You're in the middle of, well, I was going to say a Premier League campaign. You're in the middle of a League One campaign, Championship campaign. You know, I'm being truthful, Northern Ireland players don't generally play in the Premier League, in the top division. And you're going out, I suppose if you're going out anywhere, Derek, you're going out to Cyprus, decent weather, nice trip out there, bit of team building, all the rest of it. I mean, motivation-wise, you've got two teams here. Northern Ireland, the last away win in any form, friendly qualifier, was way back in September of 2010. Cyprus, their last home win was September 2012 in a qualifier against Iceland. These are two poor sides.
Well, yeah. Well, Northern Ireland 85 in the world ranking. Cyprus 122. I mean, there aren't that many countries in the world, are they? It's just a... It's just a bit of warm weather training for the Northern Ireland.
It is a bit like that, isn't it? Yeah,
that's all it is. And they won't. No one will care about the result, especially me. I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw. Not just a draw, I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw. In fact, if you looked in the under handicap, under 1.5 goals, the old favourite, 2-1, it should be miles shorter than that.
Yeah, it should, you're right. It does look like it should be a lot shorter than that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, don't ask me why, I think Northern Ireland will win it. But don't ask me how I come to that.
But they're always rubbish, Northern Ireland, against crap teams, aren't they? You know, against good teams, they pull out results you can't believe. But against rubbish teams, they're equally rubbish. I don't understand it.
I always go back to my default position if ever I'm asked about this, and that's Gareth McCauley to score any time.
No, that's a fair point.
Even if he doesn't.
Yeah. Even if he's not playing.
7-1 to score a goal in the match. That's just like, it is almost my, yeah. He scored, when did he score? He scored recently, fairly recently. He scored against Luxembourg in September of last year, didn't he, away from home. So that's enough. I suppose if he scored, 7-1, if he scores once every six times they play, you're all right, aren't you?
Well, yeah, a little word of warning for punters who want to bet on first goal scorer in this. If you're having a bet on Charalampos Kyriakou for Cyprus, beware which one you've got, because there's two of them in the team. One plays for Apollon and the other one for Ammonia. So beware of that one. It's a very common name in Cyprus, Charalampos Kyriakou.
It's the younger one, Derek.
What's that?
It's the younger one's
the one. It's his sister.
Do you know what? There is one. One's got a P and one's got a B, haven't they?
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.
One's Charalampos and one's Charalampos. So, yeah, watch out for your Kyriakous and in this game as well.
How many McCauleys are playing?
Just the one. Just the one who scores.
I'm going to go for an Irish win.
Yeah, fair enough. The price is 23-20. The Republic of Ireland take on Serbia. 5-4 the Republic at home. The draw is 11-5, and Serbia are priced up at 2-1. Andy Reid, Rob Elliott, Kevin Doyle all ruled out of this friendly at the Aviva Stadium with a variety of different problems. Obviously, Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane in charge of this one. I suppose we talked about motivation, Ron, for the Cyprus game for Northern Ireland players. One thing you were... I imagine you won't be short of his motivation for these Republic of Ireland players against the Serbians with those two in charge.
No, however they're doing in world football, you always have a respect for the Serbians because you know they'll have one or two half-decent players, that's for sure. They might also have Zigic, which makes the odd swing big time around.
You really dislike that guy, don't you?
Dislike him, he's useless. Which makes the other swing around big time to the Republic. Just on the basis of they're still fresh in the job, they still, even though it's a friendly one, you know, want to get some habits and create some goodwill. I think you got to go for the Republic.
Yeah.
Is Roy Keane back playing, isn't it, or?
No, he's not. Well, he's not in the run. I don't think he's in the squad. Robbie Keane, no, he's not there.
Robbie Keane, yeah.
They've been doing all right. I mean, they beat Latvia 3-0 in a friendly, Derek. I don't know how you correlate Latvia and Serbia. It's not quite collateral form or anything like that.
Well, Serbia are actually 29 in the world rankings, yeah, you know, yeah, and we're against Republic Ireland 67.
They don't. When you look at the results, they don't look like that, do they? do you know what I mean? It doesn't look like they're that high up in the rankings, but they win games. So.
Exactly. I tell you what, I give the rankings a bit more credence than most people do. Having said that, I've just noticed in the most recently published world rankings, Cape Verde Islands are 27. Now, I've got no idea how they work them out, but I know that Cape Verde, I could get a team from our pub.
Say that again.
The Cape Verde Islands are 27 in the world rankings.
You're having a bubbly.
No, that's according to the latest FIFA rankings, Cape Verde Islands, 27. No, I've got no idea. No idea.
It's not April the 1st, is it?
Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
That's unbelievable. How can they be that?
I don't know. It's because they probably played World Cup qualifiers, but against Tahiti and, you know, our pub.
Yeah, so I suppose, I mean, they've just, maybe it's because, actually, they've just had the African Nations competition, haven't they? So they've obviously played a lot of competitive games there. Because Algeria are 26th.
Yeah, that's what it'll be.
So that must be the reason, because it's all done. I mean, if you're playing more games, you tend to be higher in the rankings, I guess, don't you? So.
Yeah, but as long as you're not losing them, of course. Yeah,
that doesn't help, does it?
Yeah. But anyway, but getting back to this game, I mean, you'd always rely on having a few players that you'd be sort of familiar with. I think you're the only one with the British fans would be familiar with, both defenders, Kolarov, of course, and Ivanovic, the Branislav Ivanovic.
Yeah.
It was 8-1 to score at any time, by
not
the way.
Not bad price, that, is it?
Very good. I think he's, what a player, I think. He's a tremendous player.
Hey, by the way, when you think of that, and you think the British has just packed up playing for them, that's a fair place, isn't it?
Yeah, got Matic, the Chelsea player, obviously, everyone's been raving about recently as well.
Yeah.
They've got some very good players, haven't they? Yeah.
And Irish mostly got Cronin. And Tragic. I'm going to go for Serbia, you know, because they got a 1-1 draw in Russia last time out. They'd won 3-1 in Wales back in September, and they're miles ahead of the Republic in the world rankings, and they're 2-1. I'm going to go for Serbia here.
I must admit, when you start looking at it like that, it's a case of, I'm just going to go for the added motivation of the new management team.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You can't imagine the players seeing it as a jolly up, can you, with those two in charge?
No. See, as a if it was a World Cup match a bit later on down the line, I think I'd have a different view. Yeah, but I think Ireland might be a little bit pumped up more than the Serbs.
Yeah, you can imagine that, certainly. Let's have a look at Poland versus Scotland next, shall we? Poland are priced up at 19-20, 23-10 the draw. Scotland are priced up at 13-5. I guess you could make a similar case, Derek, for the management side of it. I know it's not a new manager in Gordon Strachan, but I always think as a player, he's the sort of manager who he wouldn't let you rest on your laurels too much. Tough trip out there, obviously. Poland have they're flattered to deceive a little bit, I suppose. You look down the list of players, you think this team should be a lot better than they are with the firepower they've got, the quality they've got. But I mean, whenever I seem to see them, I'm disappointed by them a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Same with me as well. And there's some way down the world rankings as well, the Poles. I know that we've sort of poo-pooed the world rankings. I think they're 70th, Scotland 34, which is, I can't remember Scotland being so high. And they've got something under the new manager, the Scots. They've had some decent results. In fact, I don't think they've conceded a goal in their last three internationals. There's something about Scotland now that you don't laugh at them anymore. I'm going to back them here to win this one, you know. I think Poland are odds on. Not many punters will be trusting them at that. I'm going to back the Scots here. I think there's more to come from Scotland under Strachan.
I don't think they can win it, but I don't think they'll get beat. I think they'll go there and give a dogged performance. And you're right about Poland. Poland do disappoint. I mean, you look at one or two of them, Lewandowski's and people like that, and you think these should be far better. But even in the tournament in their own place, they didn't perform.
Terrible, weren't they? Yeah.
I don't think Scotland will have enough to beat them. That's the only thing. But I think they'll have enough to make life very difficult for them. And I can see that coming out of draw.
Mm. You know Strachan pretty well, Ron, don't you? Seems to have taken to the international management really easily.
Well, they've had a few friendlies that they've done quite well in. I always think as well. I think there's a big difference in management when you're playing in proper matches. Mm. I do. I think friendlies are a little bit false. Well, they are false. But what you do know is you will expect a big commitment from them.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment it's still the honeymoon period for them. I think you'll get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
I'd be looking at a draw, maybe a low-scoring draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. The couple of players have withdrawn already, including probably one of the biggest disappointments is Robert Snodgrass pulling out of the Scotland squad. Grant Hanley's also withdrawn as well. Grant Hanley's withdrawn. Robert Snodgrass is out. I think Lee Griffiths, Celtic striker Lee Griffiths, comes in to replace Snodgrass.
That's right.
Yeah.
From Wolves. Yeah.
Let's have a look at Wales versus Iceland next. Wales 21-20. Iceland are priced up at 13-5. The draw 23-10. Gareth Bale called up for the Wales team. Interesting to see if he actually plays. Is it as simple as saying if Bale plays, Wales win? Wales win?
The thing is, this is only like the first part of a doubleheader. Iceland tonight, Morrison's on Friday to play. It's a bit important one. I mean, Iceland. I mean, you'd recognise a few of the players years ago, wouldn't you, for Iceland? Gudjonsson and a few players like that. But now they're just, and you look at some of the results as well. They've scored only one goal in their last four matches. Lost 2-0 to Sweden in Abu Dhabi in their last game in January. In a friendly. And I don't know, Scotland are a bit like Wales to me now. Wales are a bit like Scotland to me. I don't know, there's something there. And when you've got Bale, one of the best players in the world playing, we saw what Maradona did for in a World Cup in 86. He won it on his own. I'm not saying Bale's in Maradona's class, but he can have a talismanic effect. And I'll fancy Wales here to beat Iceland. No reason why they shouldn't.
You'd be disappointed, Ron, wouldn't you, if you're at home to Iceland and you don't win?
Yeah, definitely. Isn't this the first match after his... There was all that talk about he wasn't going to get a contract, wasn't it, after the last game. They did quite well, didn't they, the last game? Just trying to think of it was.
Yeah.
So this is like a fresh start for him. But
Drew with Belgium, didn't they? And then drew with Finland at home. Results.
Well, they drew 1-1 in Belgium. That was a tremendous result. And they've done really well in two games against Macedonia as well. I watched both of those games. And
that's
Wales
right,
are tremendous.
Home, didn't they?
And I think they're not playing the best team in the world, that's for sure. And I think you've got to go for a Welsh win, I would suggest.
If Bale, I mean, going a bit further than what I said, if Bale does play, I mean, you look at Iceland's away performances in friendlies. They beat Andorra 2-0, but you can really chalk that one off. They conceded 3 in France, 3 in Sweden, 2 in Montenegro, 3 in Japan, 4 in Hungary, 3 in Israel. That's their before the winner in Andorra. If Bale plays, he could get more than one. I mean, he's playing brilliant. He's probably played his best game for Real Madrid in the Champions League, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He could get a hat-trick, couldn't he, if he plays against this lot?
Well, he could do, yeah. 4-1, yeah.
20-1 a hat-trick?
Yeah.
Is it worth a pound? 20-1?
I'm not saying it's a great price, but it's definitely an Asda price. Bum, bum.
Yeah.
I hope you haven't got, like, free shopping coming round to your house. Wales wins, though.
I don't know if you can have that bet. None of the nations to get beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get Hills to put out a special for that later today, Lee.
So it'll be like I will do actually. Yeah, they'll probably put that out. I'll have a look. There are a few other really good friendlies during the week. Germany playing Chile, and we've seen England, struggle against Chile. Which will be a good game, you'd imagine. Good test for Germany. Spain are playing Italy as well, aren't they? And what about this one, Derek? USA. Against Ukraine?
In the Ukraine?
Well, it's in
not
Cyprus.
A game.
It's been moved to Cyprus, actually.
Oh, has it?
Well, it's supposed to be in Kharkiv. They're playing it in Larnaca, where they switched a European game there last week, didn't they? They couldn't play that.
Wasn't a game. It was just an undercover mission for the Yanks to invade, wasn't it? And they're doing up Jose Mourinho going in the kit skip.
How are they going to play it there, then? How are they going to play it? Because there's already the international there, isn't there?
I think the Cyprus game must be... The Cyprus match against...
They've moved that to Ukraine.
Yeah, Northern Ireland players thought, brilliant, we get a nice little trip out. That's in Nicosia, Cyprus, the Cyprus Northern Ireland one. So all the thousands and thousands of fans will be in Nicosia, and all the other thousands and thousands of Ukraine and US football fans.
They'll all be in the town centre protesting.
We'll be in Larnaca. In Larnaca, yeah. So,
Don't forget, there's also the France-Holland game as well.
France-Holland as well, of course. There's some really good ones, aren't there? Yeah, some cracking games on the friendly side.
What was the other one, Spain and Italy, wasn't it, yeah?
Spain, Italy, yeah. I mean, Spain are 4-9 to beat Italy.
Yeah, well, I was looking at that, 5-1 Italy.
See the team they left out? Have you seen that someone put together the 11 that they've left out? I mean, it could probably get to the semi-finals of the World Cup.
Yeah.
It looks pretty special.
Here's a price for you. Uruguay evens to win in Austria. I like to look at Uruguay and England's group, of course. Luis Suarez, you know. That looks a decent price, because that's really a bit useless, aren't they?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Some interesting games. Thank you very much, chaps.
Pleasure.
That'll do us. And we'll speak before the weekend's matches.
I'm home for Friday anyway.
Oh, yeah. When do you fly back, Ron?
Wednesday.
You've been sacked, Ron. Sacked already. On gardening leave.
You seem to be out there forever.
I've sent the boys home today. I'm just... I'm meeting the president later to discuss next year's team.
I actually believe that as well.
I do too. See you later, lad.
Cheers, guys. Have a safe journey back, Ron. Bye.